Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another cold case. However, this one isn't as cold as one may seem, for it is getting a lot more press in the media lately via TikTok, via CrimeCon, of all places, and from podcasters like myself reopening the case. Today, we are talking about JonBenet Ramsey, the 6-year-old beauty queen. She is born on August 6, 1990, to parents JonBenet and Patsy Ramsey. The thing that bothers me the most about this case is that, one, she's 6 years old, and she's in beauty pageants. And it is, from what little knowledge I have, it is a complicated world. I don't know anything about child pageants, but I couldn't imagine the pressures that are on that child. But she did really well at it. She is a young beauty pageant. I've seen pictures of her dolled up in pageantry, and I've seen pictures of her as a child, and they're two totally different things. And she got into this world because her mother, Patsy, was a beauty queen. And God rest her soul. But John Ramsey, JonBenet, has been getting this case all kinds of riled up. He went to CrimeCon this past weekend and asked Colorado Governor Jared Polis to reopen the case and retest the DNA that had been supplied due to DNA being found at the crime scene that fateful night and for it being not tested for over 6 years. Granted, the time that JonBenet was found, DNA was merely in its infancy. DNA has only been around, well, DNA testing wise, has only been around since 1984. That's not that long between 1984 to 1996 when she was found in the basement of her parents' home in Boulder, Colorado. That's not a whole lot of time. So for him to ask the Colorado Bureau of Investigation to retest the DNA, that's not a bad idea because DNA is still being worked on to this day. DNA is still, quite frankly, it's still in its infancy compared to other sciences. And the fact that John is still reaching out and still attempting to get answers proves that he wants to do right by his child. And he wants nothing more than to do right by her. So we go back to 1996. It's Christmas time. It's December 24th. It's Christmas Eve. They're getting ready for bed. They're getting ready for Santa to come out and play with them. And from what I can tell, everything in the house is quiet. Everything in the house is locked up. And then Christmas happens. Bert comes downstairs. Patsy comes downstairs. John comes downstairs. Now JonBenet. From what I have read, she goes missing Christmas morning. And we don't know where she is. Patsy is the one that calls 911. Patsy is the one that makes the judgment call and calls 911. Shortly after finding, oddly enough, a very lengthy ransom note stating, "Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed. And if you wish to see If you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. And this is going to be a side note here, but that is the exact number that is reported for him to have earned during a Christmas bonus. And for them to have that number just randomly pulled out of thin air bothers me. And the fact that they're still writing this note is 3 pages long. They have to get out and be unseen. What criminal in the right mind writes a 3-page-long ransom note? And I continue. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 are going to be in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate-sized attaché to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early and arrange for an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instruction will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned, we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance in getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny as well as the authorities. Don't try and grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It is up to you now, John. Victory. SBTC. This ransom note is 3 pages long, and they label it as so. There is a lot of grammatical errors wrong with this, which, in my mind, how my brain thinks, I think they did this to throw them off. I think they did this to think that they're writing as fast as they can, to try and get them out of that house as fast as they can. However, the initials SBTC, I don't know what to do about them. It bothers me that I can't figure out what SBTC means. There's no mention of it anywhere in the case, and I don't know if it means it's a dead end or not, or if it's just simply a red herring. But I fixated on the initials for the longest time, and knowing that it could potentially be something that's useful, I'm gonna keep looking into it and keep trying to figure out what it means. So the autopsy by JonBenet is done on the 27th, and her death was ruled a homicide due to her being strangled with a skull fracture. The official cause of death is written down as asphyxia by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma. However, there is no evidence of rape. However, sexual assault cannot be ruled out, especially for someone this young and how she lived her life. And the pathologist said something odd about the autopsy. is that her vaginal area had been wiped down. So I don't think it can be ruled out, the possibility of sexual assault, which honestly is disgusting for her being six and suffered through that. And another thing that bothers me about the autopsy is that she had eaten a few hours before her death, and there is pineapple in her stomach. And the thing that bothers me about this is that neither John nor Patsy remember her giving her pineapple before she died, or before she went missing. Neither parent remember feeding either child, Burke nor JonBenet, pineapple. There are several theories and suspects about this case, and I would like to go over them slowly. For me, I grew up with siblings, and just like JonBenet, I have a brother. So my theory had always been that Burke had somehow hurt her due to pent-up jealousy or sibling rivalry. For me, if you break down JonBenet's name, it is the female version of her father's name. And her middle name is Patricia, taken from Patsy's full name of Patricia. And Burke is just simply named Burke. So for him, I see so much pent-up rage and jealousy over the name alone. And secondly, she probably was treated differently for her being a beauty queen. She was probably treated differently for her being a young woman and a young girl versus Burke being treated the way that he had been treated as a normal young boy. So for me, I had always thought it was him due to sibling rivalry, sibling jealousy, sibling anger, because I remember being younger and I remember being jealous of my brother. I remember being filled with unsure feelings of how to handle it. And then there's the theory of, what if one of the parents did it? And for me, I don't think there's any evidence to corroborate this theory due to DNA being tested and foreign, DNA matter had been found at the scene. But I never once thought it was Patsy or John due to the fact of how they spoke about their daughter and their actions toward their daughter. Seeing Patsy filled with the raw emotion in the 911 call simply breaks my heart, how she's filled with that much raw emotion about her child. And she's basically doing the right thing and trying to do right by her daughter by calling 911, because that is what a parent should do when they discover that their child is missing and they cannot find them. Is she probably searched that house top to bottom and did not find her daughter, and that honestly, that probably scared the jeepers out of her. It probably terrified her down to her core. And the last theory has always been the intruder theory. Their house is in Boulder, Colorado, and Boulder is outside of Denver, their capital city of Colorado, and I have driven up to this house. I have seen this house in person, and I am fascinated with the layout. And I do think that an outsider could have jimmied the lock in the basement window and not have been noticed. I do think that it could have potentially have happened that way. However, with so many young policemen on this case, yes, you do have the possibility of ruining evidence because you are a young cop and because you don't know what it's like to be a seasonal cop. A seasoned cop. That is why I've always thought an intruder could have been taken place. But JonBenet is a young child, and she was just 6 years old when she passed away. And I hope this case does get solved. I hope John gets the answers that he needs in order to get closure, because unfortunately, Patsy didn't get those answers. Unfortunately, she passed away so young, and I think she passed away due to cancer, because I remember hearing about cancer in her family. Yes, she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer in 1993 at age 36. She was in remission for about 9 years until 2002, and then she died from the disease at age 49 on June 24th, 2006. And she is buried beside her daughter. And I think this is another reason why John is fighting so hard, is that because he wants his wife to have the answers that she didn't get in life. And I think that is an honorable thing to do. And I hope he gets the answers that he needs by this case, because it has been such a long time since this case has grown cold and there's been no answers. It's been 26 years since he's gone without answers, and honestly, that's a huge chunk of time when this case could have and possibly should have been solved. And for him to talk to Jared Polis about this, and for Jared Polis to speak up and say DNA is still a possibility, because these are how cold cases get solved. There is a genetic database sleuthing, and that is how we caught the Golden State Killer, is because of those 23andMe tests done. And I think there is a huge possibility of him getting the answers that he should have gotten in 1996, and I hope he gets those answers. And for him to speak out at CrimeCon, of all places, when all these people are researching his case, I think he is damn close to getting those answers. And I hope he does, and once he gets those answers, I will do an update on the case and with further detail.